Hello friends, we will now be discussing chapter number 10 of International Finance, and there we will discuss all about foreign trade, financing and costing. This is the most important aspect as far as your foreign trade is concerned, because it's totally different than the costing and financing that you do for your local trading. It has got a total different level, and therefore we have got to make a thorough study of this. The topics that we will cover today would be cost versus price, cost to the production and sale angle, and price would be ultimate being recovered from the buyer. These are two different aspects as far as foreign trade is concerned. Then what are the different forms of foreign trade financing? We will discuss in foreign trade financing. And then the most important factor as far as foreign trade is concerned is the transaction cost, which would be different than the local trading aspect. There are different costs involved. And then we will discuss what are the foreign trade documentation requirements and process. And then we look at export credit guarantee. There is an organization known as Export Credit Guarantee Corporation, which protects the exporters from all foreign exchange risks. And then Exim Bank is one of the biggest financiers as far as import-export business is concerned. And finally, we will also look at the insurance aspect of your cargo under the marine cargo insurance policy. First, when we look at export costing, there is a lot of confusion over here. What is the price factor? What is the cost factor? There is a confusion between the two. Let us take certain points which will give you a clear picture. Number one, price is what we offer to the customer, that is the ultimate buyer in the foreign country. Cost, on the other hand, is the price that we pay or incur for the product up to the point of movement of the product. That is movement stage, our port or airport. And price also includes the profit margin, whereas cost will only give the expenses that we have incurred as far as the product is concerned. So that's one of the basic difference is the profit margin. It will always vary. You will have to always consider depending on consignment to consignment basis. Of course, if we look at the whole thing from a different angle, pricing is the marketing man's privilege. The person who will market the product will say, no, this pricing will not do, this should be the pricing. Whereas costing is the cost accountant's privilege. The cost accountant will say, no, this is the basic minimum that I need as far as your product is concerned. So there is always a tussle between the cost accountant and the marketing people as far as any consignment is concerned. And if we look at the era of global market economy and the fierce competition, importance of accurate costing of the product need not be overemphasized. Your product will move with a perfect costing and pricing as far as the global economy is concerned. looking to the competition that is available in the international market. Local market, no, it's nothing serious. It's nothing serious. As far as export marketing is concerned, it is, yes, you have got to balance the two. Otherwise, inaccurate costing can lead either losing of the order or losing on the profit. If you don't balance these two, you will either lose the order or lose the profit margin. So, precisely, you have got to do a very precise mathematical order on this issue. Costs, demand, and competition differ from merchant exporter to manufacturer exporter, or to exporting through a canalizing agency. Canalizing agency, another agency authorized by the government to look at the export through that agency only, subject to certain restrictions and quotas as far as the agency will put. And when you have got to do your costing and pricing, you will also have to look at the profit margin that you are giving to the canalizing agency. So, it will have to be different. Manufacturer exporter costing would be different. Merchant exporter costing would be different. And canalizing agency costing and pricing would be different. And of course, I need not emphasize over here that export pricing is the most important tool for promoting sales and contesting in the international market. It's the most important tool. But even apart from the pricing, exporter can still be competitive with a little bit of higher pricing due to better delivery packages or certain added advantages on the product. For example, the credit offered, depending on what credit you offer, the range of product that you offer, maybe one product you may get a lesser margin, but if you take it with another range of product, you get a slightly covering up of the profitability. And most important factor is the prompt deliveries and continuity in supplies. These are important factors in your export-import business. And of course, product differentiation, how your product is different from the other product, and the brand image that carries with your product. Of course, frequency of purchases will also count, because your subsequent sell will reduce on account of nil marketing cost. First consignment you have had to add on to the marketing cost. Second consignment onwards, you don't have need that. That's not compulsory. So, frequency of purchases also helps you in your costing and pricing. And then, the most important factor over here would be the presumed relationship between the quality and the price. There is always a tussle between the two. If your client tells you, no, I want this to be totally reduced to this level, your costing people will tell you, no, we cannot. Then you may make a discussion and say, okay, we reduce the quality. So, you want to hit the price factor, reduce the quality. So, between the quality and the price, there is always a tussle. And depending on what kind of a country you are looking to export to, you have got to understand that you have got to come to a basic minimum level of quality as far as the product is concerned. For example, if we want to export to America and European countries, we have to have a higher quality standard. But if you look at the African countries and some of the Asian countries also, quality may not be so very important. Price factor may be important. So there you can push low quality material with a lesser price. But certain developed countries, no, quality they need first. So that is where you have got to work on the difference between the quality and the price of the product. Normally, when you have any export business going on, the most usual form of export price quotation when you quote to your client is CIF and a named foreign port. That means you are covering the cost of the product. You are completing insurance of the product up to the named foreign port, not Indian port. You are covering the freight up to the foreign port, not the Indian port. So CIF means cost plus insurance plus freight covered in the product, and you would deliver up to the foreign port. That's the most formal, most normal form of export price quotation. The exporter would be responsible for paying all costs until the goods arrive at the foreign. And normally you will find most of the invoices, consignments are quoted in US dollars. That has become a standard format. But now we are also looking at the invoicing in Indian rupees. Government has taken an initiative. DGFT has also issued circulars. And because of certain sanctions in certain countries, we cannot do business in US dollars. So we have been doing business recently in Indian rupees. Example countries are Iran and Russia. Directly exchange is being with their currency and our currency, not via media through US dollar. No. It is Iran currency, Indian currency, Russian ruble, Indian rupees. That is how the stage is at the moment. Therefore, what actually happens if you are quoting CIF foreign port, then the foreign importer can then calculate his landed cost for the product by adding to the CIF price that we have quoted the local import duty at the country of destination, his country, buyer's country, local taxes which he has got to incur, then all local transportation costs and any addition costs. He will do his own costing based on your CIF pricing at the foreign port. Then from the port up to the market, he will do his calculation and final costing to sell the product. And of course, the exporter will also want to insure itself against all financial losses from all possible risks, including damage to the goods or theft in between, any theft, pilferage, etc., while they are being shipped from the factory or warehouse up to the final destination, that is the named port. The exporter would like, will compulsorily like to see that he insures himself by taking out a marine insurance policy. When we look at the export price, there are certain basic expenses that you have got to add on to the export price. Listing out, serialized. First is the loading charges at the factory onto the truck or the rail or airport, etc. Loading, that is labor charges. Then freight charges up to the port of shipment, your port, your country's port of shipment. Then you will appoint a clearing and forwarding agent, so clearing and forwarding charges. Then there are dock charges, wharfage charges, terminal handling charges. These are all charges which are incurred at the point where the cargo is stuffed or loaded. And then the steamer or air freight charges up to the destination port. Insurance charges, all inclusive insurance from the point of lifting at your factory or warehouse up to the stage of the foreign port to be delivered. You will have to complete a total insurance coverage policy, and the charges will be added onto the export pricing. Insurance will have to be both to the port of shipment and also the destination. You'll have to combine both, maybe two different or one single. Then if you are getting the order through some indenting agent or some brokerage, etc., you may have to pay certain commission to a third party to get you the order. And if you have obtained any finance from either the bank or any other party, you will definitely be paying certain interest, because your export quantities are very high quantities and you will not be able to have your own finance available. So you will always need to take finance from the market or the bank. Then you have got to add on the interest factor onto the price of the product. And finally, if you are giving any guarantee on the product or warranty on the product, then the cost of that guarantee or warranty will have to be added onto the price of the product. Now, exporters get a certain form of exemptions from the government. We'll talk about the exemptions being granted by the Indian government. In India, the government offers certain exemptions and incentives or benefits to the exporters in order to make them withstand the international competition. Yes, government gives you certain facilities and support so that you can withstand the international competitive. Yes, government knows that there will be high level of competition when you want to sell the goods in the international market. So let's understand, what are the exemptions or incentives or benefits that the government gives the exporters? First of all, there is no GST applicable. Goods and service tax is not applicable on the foreign final product. And duty-free import of raw material, components, consumables is permitted under the advanced licensing system. That is, if you want to manufacture, manufacturers are allowed duty-free import for export manufacturing only, not for local trading, not for local manufacturing. So if you say that I want to export the final product, for that I need these raw material, you would be allowed duty-free imports. Then there is an income tax benefit under 80HHC. Up to a certain level, export profit is not taxable. Then you get a special impressed import license, also known as impressed license. That is, if you complete a target of so much of export beyond a certain threshold limit, That means you are working more hard to market your product. You get a certain benefit, maybe 2%, maybe 3% of the overall export price. So that's a benefit, that's an incentive you get from the government. Then credit of duty under duty-free import authorization scheme. Whatever duty, if at all, you have paid or your importer who has given you the raw material has paid, you get a credit of that if you want to export the product which is using that raw material. And then there are special subsidies announced by the governments like MEIS or SEIS. Now MEIS has been converted to RoDTEP. It's a special kind of concession or discount being given in case in the form of a rebate in local taxes which is incurred when you purchase the goods or raw material or any other item, raw material consumables locally, etc. So to cover the exporters on any items where indirect tax has been paid, RoDTEP is being granted by the government. When we look at the factors that increase the price of the export product, we saw what benefits you are getting, of course. But then there are certain factors which you have got to ensure that is added to your product because it is an export product. So apart from the local pricing, local costing, there are certain additions, certain increase in the prices involved over here. For example, any export product, there is a special packing required. It has got to be seaworthy packing. So packing, special packing required. Marking and labeling is compulsory, required as per the standards given by a foreign buyer. And then additional supervision and effort for export product. Maybe sometimes the buyer may tell you that your production and your export level would be supervised by certain third-party agency which they may nominate. So on supervision aspect, sometimes there is a government supervision agencies like Export Inspection Agency, etc., or food business operators having food business officers also say these are the minimum standards and they may supervise certain aspects of the product. And then the export transaction cost, like what we mentioned before. Then you have to complete a certain export procedure, banking procedure, Reserve Bank of India, DGFT procedure, right from getting the importer exporter code number. There are certain expenses incurred. So all these will add on to your pricing, cost of export procedures. And of course, when you market the product at the initial stages, there is a marketing cost added. You employ people, send them out, do some marketing, website marketing, etc., etc. So there is a marketing cost. And then there is additional insurance cost in the form of marine insurance policy is an additional insurance cost. Now, these are costing expenses which have got to be added and they increase your export product pricing just because you are exporting. For local sale, no, these aspects you don't have to look into. Again, export pricing has got certain other factors also which you can reduce the cost factor as far as the exports are concerned. Not only increasing the pricing, but you are reducing also from the costing export assistance and facilities that is granted by the government, refund or exemption from GST. So no GST cost is added on the export goods, and if even if at all you purchase raw material from the market on which GST has been paid, you get a refund, you get an input tax credit from there. Lower price on account of imported components and spares. You know that this component, if it is produced over here, you are purchased from a local market, it is cost is higher. But when you import it from a third country, it is cheaper. So you will take a cheaper component and put it. So that is a saving that you get. Raw material also you can purchase at international price. Raw material may be costly over here, it may be cheaper in some other countries. So you can always purchase at an international price. Government is freely allowing you to import the raw material without payment of any customs duty or any other taxes. And above all, remember one thing, that when you are exporting, you are not exporting small quantities. You are always exporting in bulk, large quantities. Orders are given on the basis of full container loads, and container load is not less than 20 to 25 metric tons or 50 to 60 cubic meters of the space involved in the container. So minimum orders are on such large scales where the value of the goods may be 20, 25 lakhs, not less than that. So you get a benefit of economy of scale. The larger quantum of raw material that you buy, you get a quantity discount on the raw material, spare parts and components, etc. And yes, Reserve Bank has come out with a policy. Government has insisted that there is a policy where the export finance that you need for your export production, there is a certain interest subvention scheme, and the finance is available from the bank for export purposes at a cheaper rate of interest, less than the market rate, at least to the extent of 2 to 3% lower. So that is a factor which lowers the price of the export product. Bank interest on subvention for exports, that gives you a certain level of benefit where you can reduce your price of the product. Now, when we look at the financing of your import-export business, as I told you before, it is on a very high scale. You don't do business at a lower scale where you have got 1 lakh rupees in your pocket, you open a shop, buy 1 lakh rupees goods and keep it in your shop, you can sell it. No, that doesn't happen in export business or import business. Always the turnovers are in lakhs of rupees, 20 to 30 lakhs on an average. And that is a finance which you may not have with you. Especially startups find it to be very difficult on this particular issue. So therefore, you definitely need finance from different sources. So let us understand what are the sources which gives you finance for import and export both. Business finance for import and export transactions refer to the funds and monetary support required by an entrepreneur. It is the amount of capital needed by an enterprise which depends upon the nature and size of the business. Depending on what particular scale you want to start the business, you would need finance to that level. And also for regulating the operations of money market, the Reserve Bank of India is the supreme authority who decides. This would be the interest rate on local requirement. This would be the interest rate as far as import-export finances are concerned. It is something Reserve Bank of India, they declare and inform the bankers accordingly. The Reserve Bank does not give the finance directly. No, they only tell the bankers that this is the policy you have got to adopt. Major constituents of Indian financial systems are banks, financial institutions, non-banking financial companies, and venture capital companies. For new starters, there are venture capital companies which come and help you and guide you, and they provide the venture capital also. And you should be really very happy to see that in India, we have a very sound financial structure, which is capable of providing a very strong base for setting up of any business unit that you want to have on any scale, whether low scale or a very high scale. You always have a financial structure which can suit your needs, even maybe in thousands of crores also if you want to do business. You see the papers, look at the Economic Times, you'll find, yes, finance is available and you can do business on any scale that you choose. Choice is yours. Of course, when you look at the payment from the foreign buyer, how do you secure that payment? Of course, if he wants to send it to you fully in advance, you will find it to be the best form. You'll say, yes, you are very happy. But then certain times the exporter will also say, what guarantee have I got that if I make him full payment, he will send me the material? So the doubt is on both angles. And therefore, the most preferred form of payment in any foreign trade transaction is the documentary credit, or short form is LC, letter of credit. The buyer's bank reimburses the seller against presentation of documents which are drawn in compliance, that is, prescribed documents which are mentioned in the documentary credit, and conditions stipulated in the documentary credit by the buyer. Buyer will open an LC through his bank, sending it to your bank, okay, with certain stipulated conditions. And if you satisfy those stipulated conditions, your bank will make payment to you directly. That is the LC or documentary credit. First, the buyer knows that bank will make payment only if the documents are received in contrast or in compliance with the terms and conditions. And terms and conditions are mentioned in his documentary credit, which has been stipulated by the buyer himself. So he knows that bank will not deviate from this angle at all. Otherwise, bank has got to pay from its own pocket. So bank will not deviate. Bank will be very strict in applying all these stipulated conditions. Again, on the other hand, the seller knows that payment will be received, will be provided to me if I comply with the terms and conditions of the credit strictly. So both sides, buyer and seller, they have put certain conditions on the bank through the documentary credit, and bank would be the authority to ensure that the documentary evidence shows that there is total compliance of stipulated conditions mentioned in the documentary credit. And accordingly, payment will be given to the exporter and taken from the importer. That is the best form of finance or payment as far as the import-export transactions are concerned. Of course, you also get credits from the banks in various other forms. Maybe a short-term credit or a medium-term credit or a long-term credit, depending on what type of business structure you want to adopt. You can take a short term up to 2 years, medium term 2 to 5 years, and long term 5 to 10 years also. They are usually suppliers' credits extended to the exporter, but they may also be buyers' credits extended to the importer. This is what Exim Bank does. Exim Bank may give credit on either side, either to the importer or to the exporter. And of course, the risk of these credits as well as the guarantees and insurance is borne by the sponsoring government. Government sponsors the Export Credit Insurance Organization, and based on the government support, the credit insurance companies provide the guarantees. Gives you insurance aspect as far as your goods are concerned. And of course, the finance depends upon the type of goods to be executed and also based on the overseas buyers, especially their reputation will always count over here. Export Credit Guarantee Organization will always look to the reputation of the buyer to give you the required credit. And the amount can vary based on the requirement from short-term to long-term finance. Thank you.